You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you. I'm joined by my beautiful wife today. How about a hand for my wife, Tina?
Surprise.
We also want to welcome in all of our friends joining us from all around the world, all of our online audience. So High Ridge fam, give a big warm welcome to all those watching from all over the world. Come on. Yes.
That's right. We have them watching from Abilene, Mineral Wells, Fort Worth, Alabama, Liberty City, Albertville,
all the way to Liberty City,
France, Arizona.
We have people watching at home that are sick. Hey, we're just going to believe that God's going to heal you right now as you watch that. Come on, people. God still heals. And for those that are just too lazy to come in person, come on. We miss you. So it's good to have all of you here. Hey, my wife is joining me today because we're starting a brand new series. The series is called You, Me, We. You, Me, We. Today we're going to focus in on marriages. Now, please don't tune us out if you are single or single again. There are some things that I believe that you need to understand about our relationships. Next week, we're going to talk about how we relate to each other. And then on week three, we're going to talk about the healthiest version that you can give to the world, a healthy version of you. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking on biblically sound and healthy relationships. So my wife is joining us today so we can talk about marriage. And so you want to give them a little bit of our story for those that don't know?
Sure. A little bit about us. We've been married for about 15 years.
Amazing years. I told her to say amazing years.
We have an awesome family, but we are almost empty nesters. And we have been in ministry together for almost all of those years of ministry, marriage.
Of marriage.
Yeah.
So I was divorced. I was married for 13 years and then had to be single again. And so I've had to work through a lot of those issues of what it means to try again and to open up my heart to somebody new. And some of you that are gathered in this place today know exactly what that feels like.
Yep. So. And I was single forever.
I got here as fast as I could.
Yeah. He saved me from being a school marm.
I saved you from spinsterhood.
Yep.
That's what I say.
I was a teacher when we met.
So. Right. And so we've worked through a lot of things together, and we've had a lot of help from some amazing people who have prioritized us and have sown great seeds of wonderful, biblically healthy relationship principles into our lives. We want to share those with you. We're not perfect people.
No.
She's as close to it as you're going to get. But I do know this, that God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for your marriage. And you need to also understand there is an attack on your marriage. There is an attack that you're going to have to be clued in to what the schemes of the evil one are, and you got to fight for the health of your marriage.
Yeah.
Marriages get unhealthy real fast.
Yeah, it
takes zero effort to just do nothing and just assume that, we just love each other and we're going to be fine. No, you're not. That's really dumb. It takes a lot of work to not only get healthy, but to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we've worked really, really hard to be the best example that we can possibly be.
Yeah.
And it's important to us that you know that. So the next few weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the healthiest version of you and the healthiest relationships that you can have. But today, I want to turn your attention to 1 Kings chapter 8 and show you this. We're actually going to be moving all through the Bible, so just turn anywhere you want. We'll be by there in a few minutes. But this is a great scripture that we can apply to marriages. Look at 1 Kings 8, verse 61. This is at the dedication of the temple. And everybody is super happy. People are going nuts. Like, the temple is finally built. And everybody gets the chance to see the glory of the Lord come and inhabit the temple. And the king says this: "May your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time." If you have a paper Bible, underline those last words, "as at this time." Because it's saying, hey, everybody's happy today. And you're fully committed. You're all in today when everything is going great. Mm-hmm. But my heart is that you would be fully committed to the Lord with all your heart as you are today. So it reminds me a lot of the wedding ceremony, because everybody's in love at their wedding. You should have been in love at your wedding day. Hopefully you were. If not, we're going to help you. We have a group for you that's going to help you. But I want to put this on the screen so that you'll see it. The vows that we make on our wedding day aren't for that day. They're for the day where you don't feel like it.
That's right.
When we say to love, to honor, to cherish, in sickness and in health, to submit, all those great words that we're happy to do when everybody's watching us. You know, submission isn't submission until you don't want to do it.
That's right.
To love is easy when everything is going your way, when somebody gives you what you want.
That's right.
But it's not as easy to love when the spotlight's not on you. And so we want to give you the best marriage advice that we can possibly give you. We believe that God has a healthy marriage for you, and it takes a fight to get healthy. So what really is a healthy marriage? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, what does a healthy marriage actually look like? Your marriage is only as healthy as each of your relationships with the Lord is. So,
right. If you're not submitted to the Lord, there is very, very little chance of you ever having a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
And you see that by the climbing divorce rate. There is zero difference in the divorce rate in the church as there is in the world. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't ever be that way. But there's a very, very strong attack on marriages and on the health of your relationship. Many of you are single or you're single again. You've had to walk through divorce. Many of your relationships are on the rocks right now. We want to help you.
Yeah.
Understand that the Bible wasn't written about marriages. It was written about people. And so before we can say, yeah, Lord, fix him or Lord, fix her, we have to say, Lord, your word speaks to me. Help me. And the good news also is that the Bible starts with the marriage and it ends with the marriage. Like, these are priorities to God. He wants to help you. But it takes us patterning ourselves and our priorities after the heart of God. And so your marriage is only as healthy as your relationship with the Lord is.
Right, and it's actually two people valuing each other as equals and working together to accomplish God's purposes. It's always better to be a team.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we want to give you our top 10 healthy marriage practices. These aren't things that you were going to say, you know, you have to apply right now, but these are things that have helped us a lot.
A lot.
And these are things that we found through marriage counseling and through working through a lot of things that didn't work. And we want to give you the best chance of success, things that we've seen that have helped us to stay committed to one another and to stay in love. It's easy to fall out of love and to start thinking the grass is greener on some other side. And I've had to see that there's a pattern, especially with pastors, that don't take care of their home. And you've been to churches like that. You've seen churches like that. And those stories get blasted onto the front page of pastor does this, pastor does that. And this is because we're not taking care of ourselves. But if I'm going to prioritize this and you're going to hold me to those standards, I'm going to hold you to the same standards. God wants your marriage healthy. And there's always work that we can do. Amen? Can you receive that? Is that okay? So let's give you a few things. We're going to do our top 10 list of the most important marriage practices to keep your marriage healthy. And here's the first thing we want to start off with.
Plan and keep an annual marriage retreat.
Yes.
And so what this looks like is you get away with your spouse for 2 days, mm-hmm. and you don't have to go far, but you do need to go away.
Yep.
To get away from your job, away from
them kids.
The kids. You need to get away from all of your normal responsibilities so that your spouse is your focus. And the first day, you spend that day just having fun, doing stuff that you guys like to do together. And then, excuse me, the second day, you spend really asking each other some questions to dig into your marriage and find ways to move forward together.
We have a list of questions that we've just straight ripped off from a book called The Mountaintop of Marriage by Jimmy and Karen Evans.
Yes.
We've applied those to our staff. All of our staff is required to take a once a year marriage retreat, and there's a list of questions that they have to ask each other.
Yeah.
Those questions look like things like, let's talk about our finances. Let's talk about our priorities. Let's talk about our health. Mm-hmm. And we ask each other, like, how am I doing as a husband? She asked me, how am I doing as a wife? Let's talk about our intimacy. Let's talk about our friendships. Like, are there friends that you have that make me uncomfortable? Are there relationships that you have at work that I'm like, man, we need to help that person? But we talk about the people that are around us. We talk about our in-laws.
Our kids.
We talk about our kids. What do we need to encourage this one or that one? Or how can we be a better support to them in this mm-hmm. stage of their life? And we try to pray together and get on the same page. And then we write those answers down.
Yes.
And it saves us from a lot of arguments. But you said this, and I thought this, and I thought that. When you don't have a clear vision for your marriage, and we get this every single year, the enemy's going to attack that.
Yeah.
And so we need a very, very clear pattern and a plan for what things are important to us. We say it this way, write down your decisions and then revisit them periodically. So you can't constantly change the game and constantly change the rules.
It's so helpful to write it
yes.
down.
Yes.
Really
Habakkuk chapter 2 says this, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. In the margin, if you want to, in your paper Bible, say, for your marriage. Write the vision for your marriage and make it on plain tablets so that he may run who reads it. We can have some forward direction. We can know, what are we working towards? What things are we supposed to be working on together? What's my responsibility? What's your responsibility? What's our heart? And when you write it down and revisit that, it'll save you from a lot of fighting.
Right. And if you are interested in getting a list of those questions, you can email me at tina@highridgelv.com. I'll send them to you this week.
It's good for you, and it'll help you. So it's one of the things that we've applied that most couples don't do.
Yeah.
But we get away, and we ask ourselves some great questions. We spend a day having fun, and then we do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then we come back. We're like, we're on the same page. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So here's the second thing we want to share with you. Number two.
Plan and keep a weekly date night.
Yeah.
Now, what this looks like we enjoy going to a movie. We enjoy going out to eat, trying new restaurants. But sometimes you don't always have money to do that. But that does not mean that you can not do a weekly date night. Mm-hmm. We have had years where we actually got a lot of gift cards for Christmas and our birthdays.
We'll save them, yeah.
And then when we don't have a lot of money, it's like, oh, hey, let's do an adventure date. And then
she'll
like
fold them out like playing cards, like pick one. I'm like, okay, we're going Boot Chick-fil-A. Barn, $10.
You know?
All right, let's see what we can get.
Right. And so, like, our whole day was this big adventure of Chick-fil-A for lunch, Boot Barn shopping, a massage. Like, it's just different things that we, it was a fun day, though. Mm-hmm. And so, but even empty nesters, you need to remember to schedule some time together.
Yeah.
That's super, super important. And if you don't have a lot of money and you do have young kids at home, put the kids to bed a little early and cook your favorite dinner.
Eat on the back porch.
Yep. Eat it on the back porch and hang out, watch your favorite movie in front of the TV, whatever you guys enjoy doing to feel connected, but make sure that you're doing that at least once a week.
Yeah, being married is never an excuse to stop dating. And so we've realized that, you know, church and ministry, those things can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so we have to fight for our time together because life will quickly snatch that from you. We found that if we're not careful, we get too busy to prioritize each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where marriages go wrong. And some
That's
of
right.
you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But we have to make each other the priority or we're going to fail. And so I'm trying to help you. Please, we're not trying to force these things on you, but don't let your heart just automatically shut us off. I'm just saying, just consider it and listen. Here's a great scripture for you. Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." It means you're going to have to leave and cleave. And it says, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two. They are one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now that no one, you can underline that because sometimes the no one that's trying to separate is you. And it's your selfishness. And you will find that your ideas and your ways and what you want will cause you and your mate to begin to separate. And so we found that a weekly date night brings us back together, focuses on each other, keeps us from getting overwhelmed and saying, hey, I'm still with you. You're still with me.
Yeah.
Continue to date your mate.
That's right.
The third thing that we have for you is to be intentional with bedtime routine and prayer. So we made prayer part of our bedtime routine.
Always.
And this is something that was work for us because I'm a night owl. I could stay up all night. I have my best ideas at night. I'm a creative person. So I could just go and I could just launch. And when the kids go to bed and the house gets quiet, I come alive.
And I fall asleep.
She is not that person. But I've had to recognize that when my wife goes to bed and I stay up, it's an invitation for sin. And so when she goes to bed, I go to bed. And I've laid down that part of my life because it's more important that I'm united with my wife and we go to bed together and that we have a routine set up with going to the presence of the Lord together than it is for me to have my creative time, right? I found that when I go to bed with my wife, there's at least a 50% chance of something special happening, and I ain't gonna pass that chance up. And when I don't, there's a lot of opportunities for me to get off. And so this, you know, I don't want to drift from my marriage. I don't want to drift into my mind or go back into this place where the enemy has a foothold in my life and in my mind. I can't do that. And so I've learned to lay down that part of my life. And I go to bed when she goes to bed. And we pray together every single night. I lead. We pray out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something I found more and more people refuse to do. And this is something that is critical for you. Please hear me. If you've never done this, please give this a shot. Men, lead out in prayer. And then wife, agree with him in prayer. When he starts praying, it might be awkward, but say, yes, right on. That's good. Keep going, baby. I like that. Pray about this. Pray about that. Good. I like it. Encourage him. And when you begin to do that together, you begin to fight for your marriage, fight for your intimacy, fight the spiritual battle for your family. I want to show you this in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry away his possessions unless he ties up the strong man and then he can plunder his house? Now, let me add this. I don't think there's a man in this place that if someone was to break into your house in the middle of the night, you wouldn't jump into action. You're not cowards. Mm-hmm. You jump into action and we're from Texas. Or everybody got a gun. You're grabbing something. You're starting to scream and yell, you get out of my house, and you'll get loud. What about in the spiritual? Because I promise you, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're willing to fight in the natural but not the spiritual, you're a coward. You're a coward. Pray. Pray for your family. Pray out loud. Pray like the warfare that you're in.
Yeah.
Pray with intensity. Pray with faith. I once had a pastor one time tell me, hey, if you're not going to pray in faith, don't pray for me. If you're going to pray, pray like you mean it and pray over your family. And this is what we do.
Yeah.
We go to the presence of the Lord every night and I say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we had another chance to finish out the day together. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my church.
Right.
And we begin to celebrate the wins of what is happening that's well in our lives.
Right. Wait, and just a special word to the guys. It's hard for sure. Like he already said, it's a little awkward, especially at the beginning. It was for us when we first got married.
It's weird.
It's not something that you would normally do, but it's worth it. It's worth the effort. And it does not have to be like this 10 or 15 minute long thing.
We're not Baptists.
It can be just like, you know, just a one or two, three minute thing where you thank God for the day and just pray God's blessings on your family. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be super hard for you. And guys, this has become my favorite part of the day. Mm-hmm. It's where I feel safest, and it's the best part of every day for me when we're able to come back together and connect and pray together every night.
Let's move on. Number four, we've learned to adopt this, to never say no. Never say no. When this comes to intimacy and sex and marriage, our answer is always an enthusiastic yes. And this is going to freak a lot of people out. But when we sat in our premarital counseling, I told our counselor, look, I was married for 13 years. You know, what am I going to learn in premarital counseling? And within about 5 minutes, I realized why my marriage had crumbled. Because when you bring in bartering systems and you use sex as something you're going to hold over somebody's head, well, I'm going to give this to you if you perform these things. You do this for me, then I might do this for you. It's demonic. And let me just tell you, that is not the way that the Lord ever intended that. But this is the way people will objectify sex and bring that into your marriage, and this becomes something where instead of being a blessing and a gift to you, it becomes a curse. Mm-hmm. This was always meant to be undefiled.
Yeah.
And Scripture is clear. I want to show you this in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, do not deprive each other of sexual relations. I mean, period. Could not be more clear. It says, do not. Don't deprive each other. Here's a little nugget. The word deprive, you can underline that word. You look in the original language, that word means don't defraud or play keep away. You remember that game, keep away, when somebody's throwing something over your head and you can't ever go, oh, it's over here, and they throw it over here. Oh, it's over here. The Apostle Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. Do not defraud. Don't play keep away with intimacy. That's not right. He goes on to say this, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Mm-hmm. So sex is not a bartering tool or a reward for good behavior. We're not dogs. This is meant to be a gift and a blessing. It's
right.
A celebration. And once you take rejection out of your marriage, you would be surprised how quickly you get healthy.
That's right.
But when the answer is always yes, there is no opportunity for the enemy to enter into our sex life. It's easy for a man to say, when a woman hangs sexual relations over his head, it's easy to say, well, because she won't meet my needs, then I have the opportunity to drift into pornography, or I can do this, I can get away with these things, because she's not. Mm-hmm. And we need very little excuse to drift off into something weird. But when the answer is always yes, you've got no excuse.
That's
because
right.
Our answer is yes. So I've learned that we say an enthusiastic yes to each other. As a matter of fact, this is what we say. If it's not immoral, unethical, unbiblical, or painful, the answer is always an enthusiastic yes. Whatever you want, whenever you want, because I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. I want to let that sit for just a moment, because this is going to be groundbreaking for a lot of people. Look at us. We're trying to help you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you. And if we can apply some of these healthy principles, I mean, just selfishly, let me just tell you, it takes a lot of pressure off me from having to fix a bunch of marriages. It's easier for me. Our answer is always Yes, so this removes excuses for not getting your needs met and doesn't allow the enemy a foothold in the sexual part of your relationship.
Yeah.
This is important.
For sure.
All right, here's number five. We can move on from the sex stuff. You guys got real quiet online there in the chat. This is great. This is awesome. You need to tell this to my husband. I'm sharing this. And online they're like.
Number five is leave work at work.
Somebody say amen. Leave work at work.
So this started, we started this our first year of marriage. I was a teacher with 24 adorable little 7-year-olds in my class all day. And when we first got married, when I would get home, I would want to know everything about
what's happening
this
at the
day.
Church.
Where did you eat for lunch? Who did you meet with? What did y'all
Who's
say?
Who's getting divorced?
Like all of those things. And it would drive him crazy because he spent all day talking to people, talking to adults, really. And
you wanted adult conversation.
Yeah, and he was just done.
And I ain't about that life.
He was just done.
I can't. No more.
So what he started doing is he would call me on the way home. Mm-hmm. And while his brain is still focused on work, he would call me when he was on his way home and we would talk. And then I could ask all of the questions. He's still in work mode, still enjoying the conversation and still, you know, going. Mm-hmm. And even if the conversation lasts until he pulls up, the garage door comes open, whenever he walks in that door,
we let it go.
We let work go. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been, we've continued that. Whenever we moved here, I stopped teaching and started working for the church. But that helps us to be able to lead. So we work together. And so that allows us to leave work at work.
Yeah, I love each and every one of you so much, but if I'm not careful, your issues will become our issues.
Yeah.
And I'll carry this home. There's too many people, and you might be doing great right now, but I promise you, somebody in a row is going through a crisis, and when you have 500 people going through a crisis, that's overwhelming for us. And so if I don't learn how to shut that off and recognize that, look, I know they're walking through something, but if I don't keep this strong, I'm going to have nothing to give you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I've learned how to leave work at work by decompressing and saying, look, let's talk about this. And when I get home, we ain't talk about it no more.
Yep.
We're going to let that go. It'll be there tomorrow. And let me tell you this. When you're able to separate that, when you come back to work, you're better. You're sharper.
That's
and
right.
You're more healthy. So you're able to give more in less time.
That's right.
So Isaiah chapter 32, it says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places. Somebody say amen. Yes. Yeah. In secure homes and undisturbed places of rest. And that's really what we want. We want our home to be a place of peace, joy, rest, and family, not constant interruptions with more work.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
That's right.
You'll get really unhealthy if instead of working on your marriage, you're working on your work and calling that success. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't work, there is no success. Come on, somebody. If this doesn't work, there is no success. This is my success. And everything else rises and falls on this thing healthy. This is good for us. You still with me? Is this okay?
Yes.
Number six.
Always believe the best. And what that means is when, you get home or even first thing in the morning,
yeah,
and one of you is a little short with the other, or a rude comment.
You're talking about me. We know.
No, not always. A rude comment or something like that. If you'll take a step back and just realize, hold on, I know he loves me. I know he didn't mean to hurt my feelings. And you go to him with the attitude of, okay, I know you didn't mean it this way. This is how I took it. This really hurt my feelings.
What'd
Can
you, mean
you
by that?
Explain mm-hmm. what you meant by mm-hmm. that? That allows them to pull back and be like, it just kind of breaks the tension in the air and allows them to think about it and be like, okay, what you did this morning really irritated me and I guess I just haven't let it go, and then you can work through that. Or, yeah, I had a really stressful day at work. I guess I was carrying it around a little bit. Just give me a couple of minutes and I'll be okay.
Like,
we've learned
to bring grace into our relationship.
Yeah.
And a lot of unhealthy couples have zero grace. But I've learned to not assign motives to things that I didn't understand that she said. And so if I assign motive to it, I can really easily turn that into an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But I give her a chance to clarify what she might have meant to say. but it didn't come across that way to me. And then I'll look at myself and say, did I take it the right way? But if you just ask questions and give yourself an opportunity to not assign motive, but to bring grace into it, you'll find that you're a lot healthier.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
It's true.
Here's number 7.
Choose love over laughter. And what that means is I am married to the funniest person that I know. He's hilarious. But when we first married, he made a choice, which I'm super grateful for, not to use me or the kids as the butt of jokes. And not in his sermons, not when we're hanging out with people. It was never, let's tear each other down and get everyone else to laugh. It was building each other up. He's funny enough to find other material.
Yeah, it's cheap, but it's really easy for me to make fun of my wife and say stuff like, she ain't going nowhere, you know, that's my wife, I can do whatever, and that's cheap humor. But I've determined that that our love for each other is more important than our friends' laughter. And that if I value people laughing at my jokes over this, we're gonna get unhealthy real quick.
Yeah.
So I've learned that I do not embarrass her publicly. You won't find me embarrassing my wife in my sermons. I don't do that. Matter of fact, we had an agreement at the beginning that all the pastors on staff at the church I was at, if you use your wife as the butt of a joke in a sermon, you owe her a new wardrobe. And so that got expensive real quick. I learned that lesson. You know what? Perhaps I'm gonna talk about somebody over here instead. But it won't be her. But we don't publicly embarrass each other. And this is a big deal to me. Like, we can't do that. We have to be in unity. Yeah. And we can find things to laugh about, but it's not going to be at each other's expense.
Yeah.
You still with me? Is that okay?
Yes.
So we've learned to choose love over laughter. Here's number 8. Number 8, is that right? Number 8 is no financial secrets.
Yes.
No financial secrets. We've learned that you can even have separate accounts, but you can't have secrets.
Yeah.
And so that other person needs access to and clarity in the area of your finances. You need to know. Even if one person is not good with money, they still need to understand. And if you've had problems with some person overspends and one person is getting angry, like, let's get you some help. But don't just sit here and say, well, because you overspend, I'm going to pull that back from you and keep it hidden from you and just going to divvy out a little bit. Like, no. Let's. You can learn. You're an adult.
Yeah.
You can learn how to budget things. And so one of the things that we realized from the very beginning is that I didn't have a lot of trust when it came to finances. I'd been burned. And so I had to recognize, like, she's okay. Like, we can do this together. We can learn. And so we've learned to put that together and to put a biblical spin on it. We've learned that when we don't have secrets, we can spur each other on towards generosity.
Yeah.
And not just one person being generous and the other person's like, oh, I would never do that. We can give together. And as a matter of fact, there's been multiple times where the Lord has challenged each of us as a couple to outdo what we thought we could do financially when it comes to giving and generosity. We sat down and looked at our taxes this past year, and we've given more this past year than we've ever given in the history of our marriage. And instead of looking at each other like, whoa, what did we do? We gave each other a high five.
Yeah.
It's been important for us to spur each other on towards generosity so that money never becomes something where we're fighting about it, but instead we're discussing how can we give more.
Yeah.
There's been multiple times because of this and no financial secrets, our finances being submitted to the Lord, that God has asked us to do things that, I mean, are hard to hear. God told us twice to give it all.
Yeah.
Give everything that we had. We cleared out all of our accounts and liquidated our assets, gave it to this church, gave every bit of it so that we could never be up here in leadership and say, we're going to ask you to give towards us. No. Our giving, we're proud of it. And we try to do that together because it's submitted to the Lord. And when God begins to put that stuff on our hearts, we've recognized we can't outgive God.
That's
and
right.
If we have health in our finances and no secrets, man, there is no end to what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. So no financial secrets, and we give with generosity together. Here's number 9.
You find the shared likes and adventures and prioritize those.
Mm-hmm.
So a good example of this is he loves to hunt, and
kill them all.
I'm not a huge fan, but I enjoy going out to the lease with him sometimes, but only when it's cold because all of the bugs are dead and the snakes are not moving around. So once or twice a year when it's cold, I will go with him and sit in the stand. But I love it. It's his happy place, and it's very peaceful, and I love being out there with him and seeing nature through his eyes. I love it. And
and golf is the same way.
She
doesn't like golf, but she'll drive the cart with me. And
it's fun.
I get to talk golf because she's there prioritizing an adventure with me.
Yes.
It's not her thing, but she'll do it with me.
No.
And then I've done things that I don't at all enjoy, but
right.
I do it because I love you.
Well, we have some friends that are training in France. They're at a language school so that they can be missionaries in Africa. And so we went to see them, but we had a day and a half in England. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge bucket list trip for me.
Not for me.
So he was like, plan anything you want. I'll do whatever you want. We'll go. And I wore him out. We were busy from the time our feet hit the ground all the way. How many? We walked
21 miles.
Yeah.
I had the flu. But did I complain?
Not once.
I was like, I love to see you happy. I am miserable over here, but don't ask me how I'm doing. I ain't going to say nothing. But you're having a great time, and I'm here to prioritize you. This is not my thing. It's your thing. But I love watching you have a great time. So don't plan around me. I'm here to support you.
And even shopping, like I am not a huge shopper, but I do enjoy going out and shopping, especially when we're in a bigger city. But if you will, like if you're a big shopper and you could spend like all day shopping, maybe shave down the time and do like an hour and a half to 2 hours. Maybe your husband would come with you and maybe even buy stuff for you and then take him out to eat at his favorite restaurant or something
like
that. Like it's not a bad day. So just, you know, give and take on that. But it is fun to watch each other enjoy their favorite things.
We've seen that couples have a tendency to prioritize their me time and alone time over our together stuff.
Yes.
And so we've decided just to make our together stuff the priority. And then other times I can be by myself, but that's not the priority. It's to find things that we can do together that she likes or that I like and then prioritize those first.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then we'll give you number 10 is to find the funny, not the fault. And look at me. It takes zero effort to find fault in your spouse. That is cheap, low-hanging fruit. It takes zero effort to do that. But it takes a lot of work to learn how to find things that we can laugh at together instead of just each other or to make fun of each other. We started to look for the things that we can laugh at together. And when we laugh together, we bond. And so we found that we both have a dark sense of humor. You wouldn't think it, but we're like, look at that. We can people watch and just make fun of them all day, but we won't make fun of each other. But we're going to find the funny, not the fault.
Yeah.
We've recognized that if we can't laugh about it, we get overwhelmed. Life is too much. Life gets dark. It gets heavy. It's hard. And there is a lot that we could complain about and get overwhelmed with. But when we can find something to laugh at, it brings a lot of joy and levity. The Bible says laughter is good like a medicine. And sometimes the healthiest thing you can do is just to laugh.
Yep.
When was the last time you just laughed together and not at each other or like, we're going to get divorced. Like, no. Find the funny. There are things that are funny that you can laugh about, and the Bible is clear. Laughter is a gift from God. Like, use it. And
it breaks the tension in a room.
It does.
It just does, yeah.
What we say is the only thing that we take seriously is our relationship with Jesus and each other.
That's right.
Everything else, man, I ain't taking nothing seriously. It's life.
That's true.
It's going to happen. But we've learned from the very beginning of our marriage that we can find funny and not the fault. And I told her this when we first got married on our honeymoon. We were going to take a cruise to Mexico. Some friends of ours blessed us on our honeymoon to take a cruise. And I told her as we were leaving the country, I said, look, let me just let you know, when you look like this, you're going to get randomly selected for some kind of search. Somebody's going to pat you down. It's just the way that I look. And she's like, that's not true. I'm like, welcome to it. I'm just telling you. I look Middle Eastern and, you know, you get Border Patrol or customs agents and they're like, pull that one out of line. I get it. I fit the description. And she's like, that's not true. I'm like, I'm just telling you. And so we were leaving the country. We were walking up the gangplank to get onto the boat. And two Border Patrol agents said, excuse me, sir. And I'm like, I told you. She's like, you weren't kidding. So they pulled me out of line. They said, we need you to come with us. And I'm like, I'll be back in a minute. So I walk off. I'm like, what's the problem, guys? I'm like, we need you to come with us. I'm like, come on. What's the problem? Just search me. I got nothing on me, nothing to hide. And so I'm trying to be nice and courteous, but they're obviously like, there's a problem. So they pull me into an elevator, bring me down like 6 floors into like the basement of the main building off the boat. And 4 more Border Patrol agents met us on the other side of the elevator. And so I'm like, there's 6 of you. And they surround me. And I'm like, okay, like, guys, I am not a threat. Like, please, what's going on? They're like, we've got some problems with you. And I'm like, dude, like, my wife is waiting upstairs. I mean, this is freaking out time. And so they said, we've got a problem with your luggage. I'm like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. And he said, come over here with us. And we walked over and they had a suitcase set out. And they said, is this your suitcase? I'm like, that is not my suitcase. And my heart began to beat fast because I'm like, someone has registered a suitcase full of Longview booger sugar and they're about to get it on the Scarface done. Have 14 kilos of Colombian Bam Bam inside this suitcase, and they registered to, like, I was thinking, I'm about to go to prison. Like, this is, I'm like, that is not my suitcase. They're like, you're sure? I'm like, it is not my suitcase. They're like, well, we have it registered to you. I'm like, I don't care. Like, this is, it's not mine. He's like, you're positive. What do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, sure you are. I'm like, whatever. So we walk over closer to the bag, and I realize it's her bag. And my heart dropped. Because I had just come out of a marriage where my wife was an addict. And I thought, who in the world did I just marry? Like, she fooled me. She looks innocent. Turns out, we're smuggling black tar heroin into Mexico. Who does that? It's supposed to be coming in, not going out. And so he says, so you're a pastor, huh? And I said, yes. And he opens up the suitcase. And in that suitcase is every gift that all of her friends bought her for a bachelorette party. And she just stuck it all in one bag. And when he opened up this bag, which I had never seen, he said, pastor, huh? And I was like, oh, God. Oh, I was mortified. I just wanted a hole to open up in the floor so I could just fall through.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, no.
This is bad. I literally took everything and put it in a seat. I didn't even fold it. I just threw it all in there and left it.
Yeah, let me just tell you.
All the lingerie.
When that suitcase came open, I... all the color drained from my face. And he said, pastor, huh? And I'm like, oh. So I said, what's the problem, guys? He reaches in with his billy club and he pulls out a set of pink fuzzy handcuffs. He said, you're not allowed to have these on the boat. I'm like, oh my God. I'm going to kill her. What is wrong with you? He's like, I got to confiscate these. I'm like, confiscate them? Who cares? I don't want that. Give me my bag. He's like, so it is your bag. I'm like, shut up, man. So I grabbed the bag and I'm walking back up. By this time, she's crying and freaking out. It'd been like half an hour. And I'm walking back. She's like, oh my God, what happened? Are you okay? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. She's like, what happened? I'm like, handcuffs? Are you serious right now? You going to take me hostage? Do you have any ideas? She's like, I don't know. I just put all the bag. I don't know. We realized in that moment, like, if you can't find the funny in that, it's a hilarious story. Like, this could have ruined us and ruined our honeymoon because it's easy to find faults, right? We can find faults.
Oh, yeah.
We realized in that moment, if we can focus this outside and say, that's hilarious, then we've got some hope of making something better than just another marriage of people finding fault with each other. There's plenty to laugh about, right? It takes zero effort to find the fault. You can find the funny.
Yeah.
Once again, the only things we take seriously are our relationship with the Lord and each other.
That's right.
Everything else, if you can laugh, you can find health. It's a prophetic word for you. Look at me. Laughter is good like a medicine. When was the last time you just laughed together? Laugh. It's good for you.
That's right.
And we believe Genesis 26 is a great story. Abraham, Isaac, they both had this pattern of lying about their wives, calling her that's my sister, which is kind of weird. And they were afraid that they'd be killed because their wife was so beautiful. Like, oh, that's my sister. But here, look at this in Genesis 26. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah. And that's how he knew it was his wife. There's intimacy that comes when we can just laugh together. And it's different for married couples.
Yeah.
Find the funny, not the fault. Let me just tell you, there's hope for you if your marriage is broken. For those of you that are single or single again, those of you that have walking through a tough season, and those of you that say, our marriage is as healthy as it's ever been, there's always work that can be done. Mm-hmm. There's an attack on your marriage.
That's right.
And don't be foolish enough to believe you can fix it on your own. You cannot. You need the help of the Lord. You need the help of some godly people that have been there that can help you. We need help. And so we are standing here today as healthy as we've ever been because a lot of people chose to love us and invest in us and tell us some hard truths about things that we didn't want to hear, but we needed to hear it.
That's right.
And God's word is true. We say that if the health of your marriage is waiting on the other side of your discipline and willingness to prioritize the commitment that you made when you put on that ring, remember that commitment that you made, and may your heart be as fully committed to the Lord as it was that day. Mm-hmm. May your heart be as fully committed to each other as it was on that day.
Right. Just remember that God is a God of redemption. If you take a step, God will reward.
That's all that we have to give you. My wife did a great job. You did a good job in there.
Thank you. So did you.
Thank you.
Always.
Some of you are like, man, we don't hear from her every week. We don't need you.
No.
That's all. You got to pay us double then. I'm just kidding. No, if you liked what you heard today, would you do us a favor? Click the share button. We think a lot of people could benefit from this. There's some things that we've learned, and we want to apply those to as many people as possible. So if you enjoyed what you heard, hit the share button. It means a lot to us when you share this with your friends. The world is busy screwing people up and screwing up marriages and giving you all kinds of weird things that are the latest trend. Let's get back to the biblical truth from God's word and watch as we get healthier. Mm-hmm. It's better for you. And as we finish up today, I want to just encourage you to, let's spend some time just hearing from the Holy Spirit, if you wouldn't mind. Would you go ahead and just bow your head and close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Because I think if we've done our job correctly today, there's some things the Holy Spirit wants to check your heart with.
Mm-hmm.
And from this moment on, once you hear from the Lord, you've got a responsibility to either obey it or disobey it. But let me remind you of this. Your God is a good father. And he has good things for you. He wants your marriage healthy. He wants your marriage submitted to him and to his will and to his word. We could all use a little help becoming a little healthier. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? If you're single or single again, I want to invite you to pray that prayer along with us that are married. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Don't waste the single season. Don't wait to start your life after you get married. No. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every single person within the sound of our voice. I thank you for your word that speaks life and health. Speaks words of hope and words of healing. So, Father, would you forgive us for the times that our selfish motivations have brought some unhealthy things into our relationships? Forgive me, Lord. Let today be a new day. Lord, we are tired and sick of the same unhealthy home. Let today be a day where that stuff gets broken off and health comes and laughter comes back. Our priorities and discipline come back. We start fighting for our marriage instead of against each other. Let today be a day of new beginnings. Let today be a day of hope. And I pray these things in the mighty and matchless, powerful name of Jesus. If you'd remain with your head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, I want to finish up today by saying, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if maybe you're not submitted to the Lord, maybe you say, I used to walk with the Lord, but I've gotten away from God. I need to come home. If that's you today and you want a relationship with Jesus or you need to come home, I want to invite you right where you are to pray a prayer with me. I'll tell you what to say, but you need this. Let's nail this down today. Pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. Please forgive me. Take over my life. I give my life to you. And I thank you for what you did on the cross for me. In Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that was you, my friend, if you actually prayed that prayer, nobody's looking around, it's just us and you. Would you just slip your hand up all over this place and say, that was me? Good, good, good. Many of you here in this service, if you're watching online, hey, this is for you too. If you just pray that prayer, I want you to know that there is a number appearing on the screen in front of you, 844-HRC-TEXT. If you will text the words, I prayed, to that number, I'm going to send you some links to some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart and what to do next. This isn't the end of your relationship with Jesus. It's the beginning, and we want to help you. Good for you. Good for you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me and stand up with us if you would. We're just about ready to dismiss, and I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward. If you need help in any area of your life, we want to pray for you. And so these are my friends, the foundation of our church. These are the eldership and their wives, and They would love to pray for you about anything that you might be walking through. And so don't leave today without getting some prayer if you need it. I know it's a big step of faith, but God rewards steps of faith. Come on, somebody. God rewards it. And I believe that God hears us when we pray. And so there's nothing better for you than to join hands with somebody else and say, hey, pray for me. Let them pray for you. It's a good thing for you. And for everybody else, hey, we want to bless you and send you out. So my wife has the honor today of closing us out with a word of prayer and blessing over you.
All right. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful service. Thank you for each person here. I pray that you would bless each one with their best week yet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.